We're going to look at verses 19 to 31. We'll speak to you on the subject of the eternal hell. Hell is a real place, folks. It may seem way off distant someplace. It may seem like something that's not going to really be there, but right now, this morning, hell is alive and well. There are a lot of people in hell today who thought they were going to go to heaven because they did not do it God's way. Jesus said, "This is the will of him that sent me, that whoever sees the Son and believes on him shall have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day." And he tells us in Matthew chapter 7, "Not everyone that calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven." And that will is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word, Luke chapter 16, beginning with verse 19. "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember, thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's pray. Father, this morning I pray for all those that are on the road to hell this morning. All those that have settled in because they love darkness rather than light, because the deeds are evil. Lord, I pray that you would have mercy on them, and that you would bring them once again to that place of seeing their need of a Savior, that they might turn from their sin and receive Christ as Savior and Lord. Lord, I pray that you would search my heart and remove anything that would hinder the work of the Holy Spirit through me. Use me as your instrument. Open our understanding. And Lord, if there's one here that's never received Christ as Savior, that this would be the day that they would put their trust in Jesus and be saved. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Hell is a place of torment, probably many torments, but at least we know that it is a place of fire and brimstone. It is a place that is a continual burning. When we are born into this world, there is no end to our existence. We're going to exist somewhere forever. We will die physically, unless the Lord comes back before then, but when we die, our spirit will either go to heaven or it will go to hell. And if we do not make provision for heaven, the automatic default is that we go to hell. Jesus tells us that the way into heaven is narrow, and few there be that find it, but the way that leads to destruction is broad, and many go in thereat. We have to ask ourselves whether or not we are ready to go in through that narrow passage. The narrow passage is the person of Jesus Christ. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever has not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. That's what John chapter 3 says. We all know John 3:16, where he tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But he goes on to say, "There, this is the condemnation." Now listen very carefully, because the Lord is giving us a little insight. "This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil." People who want to live in sin, people who want to enjoy the pleasures of sin, have opted to not join forces with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to receive Christ as Savior is absolutely the worst thing that you can do with your life. It doesn't matter what you do. If you live to be 100 years old and you waste your time in the frivolities of this life and die without Jesus, you have had a wasted life. This man, this rich man, the Bible says he fared sumptuously every day. That means everything went his way from the cradle to the grave. Everything was just right for him, but he still died. And when he died, he had an eternity to live in hell. Eternity is a long time, folks. And it lasts and lasts and lasts. Listen to what he says here about the torment. Verse 19 through the first part of 23. "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments." You see, it is an instant thing. The Bible tells us who are believers to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Your spirit does not cease. It keeps going. And if you do not have Jesus, the moment you take your last breath in this life, you will wake up in hell. And hell will be there forever and ever and ever. If you try to compare the time on earth, even if you live to be 100, and very few people do, if you live to be 100, you compare that to eternity, and it is just a drop in the bucket. If we drew a line from this wall to that wall and asked you to put a dot on that line, that if that line is eternal, you try to put a dot on that line to represent 100 years on earth, you couldn't do it. No matter how small you made that dot, it would be too big. Because compared to eternity, it's infinite. It just keeps going on. And for me or you or anybody else to gamble an investment in this life, this little short period of time that's just like a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away, and risk our eternity, is foolish. Because eternity is so long. That's the reason Jesus said, don't lay up your treasures on earth. You're just going to be here for a little while. It's kind of like camping out. You know, if you're going to go camp out for the weekend, you don't go to the richest store in town to buy furniture and get you a nice couch and a nice four-poster bed and a nice rug to put on the ground when you go out to do your camping. You're not going to be there long enough to enjoy it. Just take you some old lawn chairs and a tent or whatever you're going to take, and because you're going to come home to the good stuff, you see. It's the same thing with heaven. We can do this standing on our head if we have to. This little short period of time. Lay up our treasures in heaven. Because once we get there, it's forever. And nothing will ever take it away. Hell has unquenchable fire. I want you to listen to this. Mark 9:43-48. "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Now understand what he's saying here. Whatever stands in your way of receiving Christ as your Savior, cut it off. Get rid of it. It's that important. You say, well, I'd be embarrassed to walk down in front of everybody. You better get rid of that. I would be ashamed to let anybody know that I was a Christian. You better get rid of that. Because you see, the most important thing, most important decision in all of the world is what you're going to do with Jesus Christ. If you reject Jesus, he will reject you. One day you're going to have to stand before Jesus and you're going to have to give an account of what you've done and the decisions you've made. And if you've made the wrong decision, you're going to be in big trouble because hell lasts forever. I believe that one of the torments of hell is going to be an unforgettable failure on your part. You're not going to be able to forget the choices you made on earth. Listen to what he says here in verse 25 of our text. And Abraham said, son, remember. Remember that in your lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Remembering all the opportunities that you've had to receive Christ as Savior that you put it off or you said no, that's going to torment throughout all eternity. Do you know what the people in hell would do if God said, I'm going to give you 10 seconds back on earth? They would run to an altar and pour out their heart to God and beg for forgiveness that they might be able to be saved. Because they know what hell is. But they're not going to get that chance. But you see, you have that chance today. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, this is one more opportunity that you're going to have to remember what you've done with throughout all eternity. I remember a man that I had witnessed to several times. And every time I would witness to him, he would weep and he would say, I know I need to be saved, but not tonight, preacher, not tonight. Over and over and over, I would witness to him and he would say that same thing. And one night on the way to his house, I was going to go witness to him again. The Lord laid on my heart to give him his last chance to be saved. And I thought, is he going to die? And the Lord made it clear to me what he wanted me to do. He said, this man is going to go to hell. And throughout all eternity, he's going to beg for one last chance. I want you to give him that one last chance. So it was with great trepidation that I went to his house. And I said, the Lord has sent me to tell you that you're going to go to hell. And you're going to beg day and night for all of eternity for one more chance to be saved. And I said, he sent me to give you that chance. He's going to remind you of this chance throughout all eternity. What are you going to do with it? And with tears running down his cheeks, he said, not tonight, preacher. Not tonight. He's dead, as far as I know, burning in hell this morning, begging for that one last chance. Don't put yourself in that situation. If you know in your heart that if you were to die right now, that you'd go to hell, don't let another moment go past without putting your trust in Jesus. Jesus has made a provision for your eternal security, but you have to receive it by faith, or it never becomes yours. The unaccepted forgiveness is going to be a torment in hell. So many times we could have been forgiven, but we didn't. Over in the Old Testament, the Bible talks about Israel. He says, the harvest is past, and time has gone, and we're not saved. Letting time pass is not your friend if you're lost. I had a man tell me one time, he said, I cry myself to sleep every night, afraid I'm going to die in my sleep and wake up in hell. You see, it is a terror even in this life, because the Holy Spirit deals with us to try to tell us about hell and try to warn us not to miss heaven. Listen, Luke 13, 1 through 5. And there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said to them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Are those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think you that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Everybody has to come to the place of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, turning from self as Savior to Christ as Savior. Understanding that in the equation of salvation, we are a zero and God's grace is 100%. When we understand that, then we can put our trust in Jesus and be saved. God has called every one of us to repentance, but except we repent, we will all likewise perish. And we will spend eternity in the lake of fire. God has made the provision, but until you receive that provision, it will do you no good whatsoever. Look at the time. The most frightening thing of hell for me is the time. You know, if somebody said you're going to be burned for 1,000 years, I can kind of wrap my mind around that. But 1,000 years is nothing compared to eternity. 100 billion years, think with me, folks, 100 billion years of screaming and torment and anguish in hell, you just started. Another 100 billion years, you're just started. There's no less time in hell than when you first begun. That's hard to wrap your mind around. And a decision that we make this morning is going to determine whether you spend that eternity in heaven or hell. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, don't leave here without Jesus. You don't know what a day will bring forth. This may be your last opportunity. I don't know. I hope you have many more opportunities, but I cannot guarantee that. Nobody can. You need to know that you're saved when you leave here this morning. Look at verse 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Now listen to this verse. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. You're there, you're stuck. There's no getting out. Never be able to get out of hell. That's a horrible thought. Still, people go through life thumbing their nose at God, doing whatever they want to do and hoping for the best. It's like somebody jumping out of a 20-story building. Every floor they go by, say it's all right so far. There's going to come a time when hell is going to be real to everybody that misses heaven. It's forever. Revelation 20, 10 through 15 says this. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I want you to see that word, whosoever. Whosoever is an important word. Whosoever is an important word to those that are saved, it's an important word to those that are lost. Every person on this planet has salvation offered. Whosoever will, let him drink the water of life freely. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But whosoever rejects Jesus, the wrath of God abides on him. You see, it is absolutely necessary that we get our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whosoever was not written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. The fear that goes along with it. Luke 12:5. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which hath, after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. A whole lot of people have the wrong idea about God. For those of us who have received Christ as our Savior, we can approach God because we are adopted sons and daughters. But for those who reject Jesus, there's nothing but wrath. As much love and gentleness and grace that he has to those of us who are saved, he has just that equal amount of wrath for those who do not receive his Son. You reject Jesus Christ, God will pour out his wrath on you forever. And it will be more than you can bear. The fear of God has been lost on a lot of people today. People want to see God as a big teddy bear who loves everybody, wouldn't hurt a fly. He's just our buddy. He's our friend. But that's not what the Bible teaches. You take Jesus out of the equation, God is a consuming fire. He says, don't fear man who can only destroy the body and after that has no power over the soul. But I'll tell you who you better fear. Fear God, who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Yea, fear him. You see, that's serious business. God says, not enough fear going around. You got to have that fear restored. The finality of the judgment at the great white throne is overwhelming. Listen to this. Revelation 21:22-27. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise, listen to this, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You see the finality of the judgment at the great white throne. Not going to have another opportunity to enter heaven once you have missed it on earth. This is the only place where you can receive Christ as Savior. Once you leave earth, it's over. Whatever way you leave earth is your state throughout all eternity. It's final. Now let's look at the truth here. Verses 27-31 of our text. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Understand what he's saying here. Moses and the prophets is the way they referred to the Bible. He's saying if they don't accept the word of God and the testimony of the word of God, then they wouldn't believe the one came back from the dead. I used to wonder about that. I'm kind of like the rich man. If somebody came back from the dead, that might convince somebody. But you know, the truth is, only the promises of Scripture can save anybody. You have to have the promise of eternal life. If you put your trust in Jesus, you can't be saved. So fear won't do it. You have to have a promise. And the promise is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's from the Word of God. If you reject that, there's no hope for you. The witness that is given in Romans chapter 1, verse 14 through 16, is all we need for salvation. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel is this. Jesus died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried, and the third day he rose from the dead according to the Scriptures. Jesus Christ came into the world to save us sinners. And that message, that gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. As you hear the gospel this morning, enough faith has been created in your heart to be saved. That's the power of the gospel. But you have to use it or you lose it. The word of God The Bible says, thy word is truth. Whatever God says in his word, you can believe. Listen to John 3, 16 through 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Pretty clear, isn't it? You got the Son, you've got life. You reject the Son, you're not going to see life, but the wrath of God abides on you. I believe there may be somebody here this morning who's teetering on a decision. Now, the devil's no doubt whispering in your ear, you don't deserve this. You're going to have to go clean your life up, and then you can be saved. That stands in your way of salvation. Because you can't clean your life up. God's the only one can do that. Trying to clean your life up before you get saved is like taking a washing up before you take a bath. You know, it makes no sense. If you could clean yourself up, you don't need to be saved. But the fact that you can't clean yourself up makes you realize you need a Savior. You may say, well, I don't think I can live up to it. You're exactly right. You can't. None of us can. We depend upon God's grace from start to finish. When we receive Christ as our Savior, he seals us for heaven. And as we trust him day by day, he begins to change us into the image of his son. It's all about Jesus. And he offers salvation to everyone that will call upon his name. We have a warning in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Listen to this very carefully. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Understand that Jesus has made a way for you to go to heaven. You don't have to go to hell. And he has offered salvation to you this morning. I'm just the mouthpiece. The message belongs to God. And he brought you here to hear this message. It may be that you have toyed with religion. It may be that you are very religious, but you've never received Christ as your Savior. That won't get the job done. When you put your trust in Jesus Christ, a change takes place. You'll be born again. God is the only one that can do that. You say, Brother Allen, I don't know what to do. Let me ask you a question. Do you have peace in your heart? If you were to die this moment, that you'd go to heaven. If you don't have that peace, you need to be saved. And the way of salvation is this. You have to believe in your heart that what Jesus did on the cross was enough for you. And he will save you. You say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive my sins and my sinfulness. Wash me in your blood. Save me by your grace. And he'll do that. You can be saved right where you sit right now. And when we give the invitation, you make your way down to the front. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father which is in heaven. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. If you're believing in him, follow him. Make your way down to the front and say, I have asked Jesus to save me. Schedule a time for you to be baptized. Get in church and go to work. Let God make a difference in your life. Because if you fail to do that, time's going to run out. James says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. If we do not take advantage of this opportunity, we're not promised another opportunity. I can take you this far. The rest of it's up to you. And what you do with this opportunity may well determine your eternity. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer.